Thank you, Jesus. Okay, guys, I've got something prepared for you that the Lord gave to me. Are you ready to receive? Are you hungry? If you're not, you better become it, because there's a lot of meat this morning. There's a lot of things that I would like to share with you this morning. Cole came up to me and he said, you know, last time I was all about toilet paper, and this time I've all gone potty. So, you know, I had to giggle. I had to giggle. Right. We are in the Passion Week of Christ, and we are journeying. Pastor Trish spoke on the first weekend of March, and she shared about the love of Christ for us. And then Pastor Chris came, and he ushered us into the presence of the Lord by telling us how Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem. Next Thursday, this Thursday coming, we are going to journey with Jesus, and we're going to gather here in this hall, and we're going to have a meal with him, and we're going to do foot washing. As he washed their feet, we're going to be washed, and then we're going to have communion together. And on Friday, we're going to see the God movie, the Son of God, and we're going to remember that Jesus died for us on this cross. And then on Sunday, with One Kids, we're going to commemorate that the next day Jesus has risen, and that he's not dead, but that our God is alive, and he's well, and he's living, and he's present, and he's in this place this morning. Let's give him glory and honor. Let's give our God a hand. I want to share with you the women of the alabaster flask today. This account is recorded in the four Gospels, in Luke and Mark and Matthew and John. And in all of them except John, it is after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. All four Gospels give us another perspective and a focus. Most commentaries believe that the Mary of Bethany that they're talking about, that this Mary was the sister of Lazarus. But there's also an idea that it might have been Mary of Magdala, the prostitute whom Jesus delivered from seven demons. Do you remember her? So I don't really care who it was. So let's just focus on what she did and how that can relate to our lives this morning. And we will call her Mary of Bethany. I have fused the four accounts for you. So you can go and read each and every account just to make sure that I am telling you the truth this morning. But when we put it together, I am giving you the big picture. So where it becomes too much, one opportunity, I've just paraphrased it. So will you be okay with that this morning? You know why I do it? Because I want to give you the big picture. Throughout the story, there is love and there's humility. And this story shows us towards the cross constantly. So I'm inviting you now, will you journey with me? I want you to use your imagination. If your imagination is not on this morning, take your right hand, put your finger up, press the button. Let me see. Here it goes. Two are doing it. Guys, I can't work with this. Come on, put up the hand. Up the hand, everybody, and press the button. And it's on, and now we are in imagination land. And I want you to journey with me. Let's see what the word of the Lord says. You will find it if you have your Bibles in John 12, verse 1. But I'm going to jump around a little bit. So if you have your Bible, it's great, go for it. But otherwise, because I've mixed it, I think just follow along with me. So 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died and whom he had risen from the dead. So they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Still John. Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume that was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mark says, and while he was in Bethany, a guest in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment of pure nard, very costly and precious. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Luke, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet affectionately, and anointed them with the ointment. Matthew, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "For what purpose is all this waste?" But Judas Iscariot, the one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages of an ordinary workman? And that money could have been given to the poor, the destitute." Now, he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the bag, the money box, the purse of the 12, he took for himself that was put into that collection. John, but Jesus said, "Let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming." But Jesus said, "Let her alone," in Mark. "Why are you troubling her? She has done a good and beautiful thing to me, praiseworthy and noble." John, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Now, I believe that the word of the Lord is like a treasure. It's a mine. If you want to know a little bit, you scratch on the surface. And you might pick up a rare stone here and there. But if you dig deep, you'll get the diamonds and the gold. So I want you to journey with me this morning and to dig deep into the word of the Lord so that we can see what treasure God has for us. So I'm back at the first one. So 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had died and whom he had raised from the dead. Now, what has happened is this. Prior to Bethany, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. Then he curses the fig tree. His authority gets taken on and questioned. And he cleans out the temple. And now he's on his way back to Bethany to go and take a break. Bethany was a village on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles before you got Jerusalem. And it was the road of Jericho. That is what it looked like in those days. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Simon the leper lived there. Jesus knew them, he loved them, he cared for them. Bethany was the place that Jesus would call his Judean home. It was where he preferred to be. He preferred to be there more than in Jerusalem. In Bethany, he brought Lazarus from the dead. And the disciples found the colt that he would ride into Jerusalem, also in Bethany. For him, it was a place of solitude and prayer and connection to his Father. The Garden of Gethsemane was located at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It was here that they would soon catch him and take him to the cross. But it was also in Bethany that he would rise to heaven in front of his disciples. So my question to you this morning is, do you have a Bethany? Do you have a place that you can call home? Do you have a place where you can be in solitude with the Lord? It might be somewhere in nature. It might be a war room in your house. It might be your surfboard, if I talk about Pastor Paul. Where is your Bethany? Where is your place that you can connect to the Lord? If you don't have such a place, get such a place. Because all of us needs a Bethany. Bethany was Jesus' place. And this is what Bethany looks like today. Now at that point, when Jesus was in Bethany, the whole of Jerusalem was being filled up with thousands and thousands of people, because in a few days' time, it was the festival, what we know today as Easter. And during that time, they would slaughter thousands of one-year-old perfect lambs, and the blood would flow constantly for all the people. During Passover, now, the last time, there would be one lamb offered at the cross. And it would be Jesus' blood that would soon flow. And then it wouldn't be necessary for the lambs to be slaughtered anymore, because his blood was enough for their sins. His blood is enough for your sins. And he would be the Passover lamb. Within a few days, he would die on that cross so that we could go from darkness to life, from being guilty to guiltless, from being filled with sin to being forgiven, to being redeemed, from being dead to becoming alive and to have eternal life. Do you see that life in your life yet? Do you see that light? Do you see that truth? Are you forgiven? May you still need forgiveness? Do you need to forgive others? I want you to ponder on those questions, because we're going to come back to them. Next one. So they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Now what they did was they took on the custom of the Romans. So they had a low down table, and they would recline around the table, lying on the floor. Dave, if you could show us that one. Slide 14. Yeah. See, it looked like that. It was comfortable. They lay on their side, or they sat, or they reclined. It was comfortable. And that was where they were. He was a guest in the house of Simon the leper. Martha was there. She was serving him. So obviously they had cooked up a huge meal, because they were celebrating his triumphant entry. Because remember, most of the people now thought that he would be crowned the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, politically. He had spoken to his disciples and many other people constantly, many times, about his coming death. But it was as if they didn't understand that. They didn't comprehend it. It didn't really fall from the mind to the heart. Yeah, sure, Jesus, we will all die one day. But one person heard. She heard. It fell into her heart. And this person was Mary. She was sensitive and she was insightful, and she understood that he was here for a purpose. And she understood that very soon he would die. She may not have known why and when and where, but she knew that it was coming. Do you believe the word of the Lord when you hear it? Do you believe the word of the Lord when he speaks to you? Do you understand it? Do you accept it by faith? Do you then go into action and go and do what he instructs you to do? Or are you just, oh yeah, okay, it's fine. Yeah, I'll remember next week. Oops, I've forgotten. I have done nothing. Mary did not do that. Mary went into action. This is where I paraphrased Mary. Mary took a pound of very expensive nard, broke her alabaster jar, and anointed the head and feet of Jesus. While she did this, she wept and her tears wet his feet as she kissed it tenderly. Then she dried them with her long hair, and the house was filled with a perfume. Picture this with me. Come on, guys. Is your imagination working? I want you to journey with me. Let's dig deep into the word of the Lord. Here is Mary, ready to enter into the room. Maybe she was scared. Because, you know, sometimes we know things and then we think we're not going to do that because the people are going to be indignant, or the people are going to be not happy with us, or maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe she was apprehensive because she knew that going into that room full of men and the disciples and other people, she would have a reaction from them. She was definitely sad. Because she knew that her Lord was about to die. But her feelings did not deter her. She was purely motivated and driven by her extravagant love for her Savior. Her love had motivated her to anoint him. So she pushed past her fear, her anxiety, her stress, her concern, her embarrassment for going to do the most unusual thing. Are you pushing past? If God has told you to do something, are you pushing past your fear of people? Are you pushing past of what they might say or do? I'm telling you today, it is worth pushing past. So she comes into the room with a jar of expensive ointment, and Jesus is reclining on the couch, and she breaks that jar. She breaks that jar and the ointment flows out and she pours it onto his head. Now, pouring it onto the head was common. They did it a lot of the times. But she comes and she pours it onto the feet of Jesus. And that was so remarkable, so uncommon, unusual that they recorded it. But why? And I'm going to share that with you because God shared this with me. As she was crying, she dried his feet with her long hair. What might the symbolism be of this? And this is what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to highlight. The act of anointing somebody was significant because it meant you would put that person aside, sacred and holy, as a vessel of purpose. Now, when she anointed Jesus, she put him aside as the holy vessel, the anointed one that was chosen for us to die on that cross within a few days. People that were anointed on their head were the high priests. And the high priest's job was once a year, they would slaughter and he would take the lambs and they would burn them and he would take the ash and put it on their heads. And then for the whole year, all of Israel, all of the nation, their sins were forgiven. So when she anointed Jesus' head, she was saying, "This is my high priest, and he would take away the sins of the whole world for an eternity." For those who confess. When they anointed a king, it was as if they crowned him. So during his trial and tribulation, they crowned him as the Jew, the king of the Jew. And they put a thorn crown on his head. And it was humiliating. But you know what Mary did? Mary crowned him as the King of Kings that would be glorified. As the King of Kings that would be glorified in our lives, in that time, and in eternity. And she anointed him as the prophet. And when they anointed a prophet, there was an expression. They would take the ointment and they would put it on their shield. And that would mean that they are ready for war. And when she anointed Jesus Christ as the prophet, she declared that he is ready to make war to the enemy, because we know what happened at the cross. On the cross, Jesus declared war on Satan and he overcame. He got the victory. The war has been won. Thank you, Lord. And now she comes and she says, you are the authority. You are the lordship. You are the power. And he was the anointed Messiah. And now she anoints his feet. Now feet means the way. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Is that true? And she anointed his feet because that feet had to walk the way to the cross for you and for me. Thank you, Lord, that Mary anointed that feet. And hair symbolizes glory. When she took a hair and she wiped his feet, she glorified his body. That is what it means. She had a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship of extravagant love said, here I am because I have a relationship with you. I am pursuing you. And my question to you this morning is, where is your relationship with the Lord? Do you love him so extravagantly that you are prepared to do unusual things for him? You know, when you pray, when you fast, when you read your Bible, you are doing unusual things. When you witness, when you give your testimony, when you tell other people about your life and what Jesus has done to you, when you bring the cross into their focus, into their view, you are doing unusual things because the world deems it unusual. Are you humble enough to give glory to Jesus wherever you go? Just want to share with you what the alabaster flask looked like. It looked something like that. It was maybe a little bit taller. When I put the picture up, I made it fat. So, and I didn't know how to fix it. So it looks like that, but it's a little bit taller, not so fat. The alabaster is a species of marble distinguished for being light and of a beautiful white color, almost transparent. It had to be broken. That seal was cemented in. It was not like a cork that you could take it out. That had to be broken in order for the ointment to come out. Now, the ointment inside was nard. It was a herb that you found in Syria, in the Indies. It was chiefly obtained from the root or sometimes the bark. It was a soft liquid that flowed easily. It contained myrrh. Now, in this instance, Jesus accepted this. But on the cross, they gave him a drink with myrrh in. Now, if he had drunk that, that myrrh would have taken away his pain. And he refused. He said, no, I will carry all of their pain. But here, it is used as an anointing. And he accepts it. It was very precious, very costly, and of a great price and value. When that jar was broken, the ointment flowed. Okay. Sometimes our lives are broken. Life happens. Broken hearts, broken lives, hurt, maybe due to your sin, maybe you're carrying the consequences, maybe that is not healed yet, but Jesus is saying this morning, he says, out of your brokenness will flow my glory if you allow me to heal you. We are all broken at a certain stage. But if you allow Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, to come into your vessel and to fix it, his glory will shine through you. That ointment was released through that broken pot. Jesus' ointment of healing can be put, established in your heart. And as you are healed, as you go forth and you testify of the goodness that God has had for you, of his healing power, you know what? You get the smell of Jesus. You get this fragrance of Jesus. And people will take note because they will listen to your testimony. So you've got a choice. You can stay broken, or you can take it to the Lord and say, Father, heal my brokenness so that your glory can come forth out of my life. God used Jesus' broken body to save us. He used David's broken heart to bring forgiveness. God wants to heal you. Right, let's look at the reactions. She got two distinct responses. The disciples was indignant. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant and they said, why don't we just, we could have sold it for 300 denarii. Now, 300 denarii is a year's worth of wages. So quickly calculate. How much do you earn in a year? That's it. Okay? If you earn 250,000, that is it. If you earn 80, that's it. If you earn 34, that's it. If you earn 10, that was it. She gave him everything that she had. And when you give to the Lord, it will cost you. It cost the father his son's life. Surely there will be a cost to us. But Mary doesn't listen to their responses. She doesn't listen to their responses. She listens to the response of her Lord and her Savior. But let's just see, let's just get a tiny peek at Judas. Judas comes and he says, you know what? Why? We could have given it to the poor. But he was lying. He was lying. He was a thief. He wanted to pocket that money. And there are people, they place so much value. They have a price on everything, but they value nothing. And Jesus is talking about this and he says, this is a foolish attitude. Don't do that. And when you put a value, a money value on everything, you will miss out three quarters of life. Because life cannot buy. Money cannot buy your peace, your happiness, your healing, your transformation, your salvation, your eternal life. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. People will always have something to say when you do things for Jesus. Dave, just show them what those faces look like. Have you ever met that? You know, you come and you're very excited. Oh, I'm going to do this for the Lord. Really? Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be wonderful. God told me to do this. Sure. Okay, guys, ignore those faces. It doesn't matter. Don't be stopped by the response of people. But let's see what Jesus does. Jesus comes and he says, leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing to me. He protects her. He validates her. He ensures her that she has done the right thing. And he says it was for the right time. There's nothing more comforting for us to be understood. Have you ever felt that? You share something and then you feel, I'm understood. In the office, sometimes Matt and I and Chris, we don't understand each other. And then there's frustration. And it's, oh my goodness, how else must I say this? And then when understanding comes, it's like, whew, they get me. So you know what? I'm encouraging you this morning. Just know that Jesus understands. He understands. He acknowledges. He says, I've got you. I know what you are all about. Jesus understood her ministry for him. He understood that what she was doing, because this was a lifetime opportunity. It only came once. She couldn't do anything else for him. She couldn't make a garment. She couldn't do the food. Maybe she was like me. She doesn't like cooking, so meal is not an option. Okay. But she could anoint him. So she took the opportunity. There are opportunities which comes in our life but once. Are you going to seize the moment? And I gave you that one. When opportunity knocks, open the door. Open the door. If you have to choose between listening to people and listening to God, choose God. Choose God. The cost of this act of Mary was everything. Everything she had was in that jar. But she knew that she had to do it. How much value do you put on the cross? How much is this worth to you? What is the value? What is the cost? What is the worth that you put on this? On the fact that Jesus died for you. He became for you the substitute. You were supposed to hang there, and you not, because of him. Right, let's move on. Are you getting diamonds? You getting meat? Okay. Truly I tell you, whenever this good news, the gospel, is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told also in memory of her. That is what we are doing this morning. 2016 years later, we are remembering Mary of Bethany. And we are sharing what she did. What are people going to remember about you? In 100 years from now, are they going to still remember that you loved Jesus? Are they still going to remember what you did? Are they going to remember it next week? Are they going to remember it tomorrow? Her act of faith and love was so remarkable. Your act of random kindness, when you tell your story, your compassionate deed, when you share the gospel with somebody else, how do you know that that would not impact another person's life for an eternity? So I'm encouraging you this morning, don't stop. Don't stop. Press in and press through. Easter is all about Jesus, all about the cross, and all about forgiveness. Mary had a multitude of sins. If we read Luke, and I'm going to share one or two in Luke because I'm finishing off. It says that she was a notorious sinner. And then I get this idea. It sounds like a notorious killer. Okay? So she was a notorious sinner. She sinned out of habit until Jesus touched her life. Maybe you have been a notorious sinner. But I've got good news for you this morning. Therefore I tell you, this is what Jesus says in Luke 7 verse 47. Her sins, many as they are forgiven. Because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. You know, if your life has been a mess, if your broken heart is huge, if you've been in broken circumstances for a very long time, it's a good place to be. Because when God touches you here, when he forgives you the many sins, you will love him lots. I love God lots because I have been taken out of the muddy clay. He set my foot upon a rock. When I think about my life, and you guys don't even know 3/4 of it, I can tell you, I was a notorious sinner. And Jesus came. I was broken and Jesus came. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And then you choose. There was one day that I said, Lord, I can choose. I can sit in the corner and die, or I can choose to fly like an eagle. And he said, girl, we're going to fly together. And you can choose the same. We need God's forgiveness. God's gift of forgiveness was Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross was God's gift for us. We need God's forgiveness. If we're not forgiven, we have guilt and we have shame. And then we run away from God. We don't run towards him because we are thinking we don't deserve this. But guys, I'm telling you this morning, you deserve it. We need God's forgiveness daily. When we confess and we repent of our sins, he is faithful to forgive. And then there's a requirement. You need to forgive others. Matthew 6 says, if we forgive men their trespasses, our heavenly Father will also forgive us. So do you need to be forgiven? Do you need to forgive other people that has sinned against you? Then I'm telling you, opportunity knocks, open the door, for it is today. It is today. I don't want you to get out of your seats today and walk out of this door and be exactly the same. I want you to go and to say, Lord, I need to be forgiven. Will you wash me clean? And how can we do this? Maybe you're thinking that this is just too hard. Maybe you are thinking this. Dave, and your mess is so big and so deep and so tall, you cannot pick it up. There's no way at all. That might be you. And then Jesus comes in and he says, don't worry, I got it. I got it. Jesus got it because of the cross of Calvary. You are able to go to him and to say, Lord, here I am. And this is what Jesus says to her in Luke 7 verse 50. But, I love the but in the word. But, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go enter into peace, in freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin. When we're in sin, there's consequences. When we're in sin, we don't have the peace. When we're in sin, we feel guilty, we feel humiliated, we feel embarrassed, and we want to run away. That's how we feel. That's the consequences. There's no peace because we are experiencing the result of our sins. And Jesus is coming and he says, your faith has saved you. And I give you my peace. Peace that surpasses all human understanding. Peace that will reign in your heart and in your mind. Don't you want that peace? You will get that peace when you are forgiven. Sin keeps us in bondage. It destroys us. Forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness means to let it go. To let it go. And I'm asking you this morning, don't you want to let it go? Don't you want to let go of your past? Don't you want to let go of your transgressions and your sin? You know, if you pull it behind you, your hands are filled with those chains because you've got to carry the chain and you've got to carry the ball. You can't receive anything from the Lord. But if you let it go, there, Lord, it's yours. Can't deal with it anymore. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Then your hands are open to receive what God has for you. Forgiveness means to to overlook an offense, to pardon, and to treat the other person as not guilty. The cross says that Jesus pardoned you. If you confess your sins, you are not guilty any longer. And how do we get this forgiveness? By praying in faith, telling God that you are truly sorry, and then giving it to Him, and then turning your back on that sin, and you walk away. And this is God's maths. God's math. One cross, three nails, forgiven. I'm going to ask a leader to just come up and play keys for us. And what I want you to do, I want you to spend time with the Lord, and I want you to resolve your unforgiving attitude or issue that you might have. And I just want to pray over you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will now be released upon your people supernaturally in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will highlight to every person in this building if there is any unforgiveness issue that they still need to deal with. I ask, Father God, if they need forgiveness from you, that they will ask it now and receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, if they need to forgive other people, I ask that they will not be worried and concerned for the reaction of people, but Lord, that they will push through this morning and that they will let go in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will now do for your people that I cannot do. And I release your anointing over them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to use the next few minutes to do business with your Father.